Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Good morning. I feel very blessed to stand between that incredible music of Chris Ritchie and our band this morning in that video. We are continuing the theme of the month, which is the feminine face of God. And I couldn't help but think of Mother Nature and Mother Earth when I thought of the feminine face. I grew up without a Father God at all in my upbringing. And so I never really understood or wanted to replace it with Mother God or a feminine female expression of the deity. For me, the oneness of life, the presence, is without gender. And I think about our roots of the earth itself and of which we are all made. And that's where I go when I think about this nature of the divine. It's what Ernest Holmes talked about and pointed to when he talked about all the names, and he called it the infinite intelligence itself, the one source. It's our ground of being. It is that holds us, embraces us. I'm honored to be standing here on International Day of Women. And we celebrate women on a special day, the same reason we celebrate Black History Month, the same way we celebrate the gay community, because not that we want to up-level these groups of people beyond anything or anyone else, but because we want to bring them out of the shadows and find their proper place. Alice Paul, one of the great feminists who fought for and won the vote for women back in 1920. In her interview, she was asked about her fight for women's equality, and her response was, "We are equal. What I'm fighting for is for the law to recognize this truth." And really, our teaching is the same. We are one. And yet we have to return again and again and again so that we can reflect that in our lives. Is that not true? Do you ever live your life as if you're separate? I was reading a great philosopher, Christian teacher, who was speaking about the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve, and when God supposedly gave dominion to the human being of all the earth and everything that was upon it. And what this teacher was saying is that the challenge was that there was this idea in the human mind, because that's the way our human mind is made and it works, that there's this idea that meant that we got to run a show separate from the one, separate from God, separate from that divine impulsion that has created us, our one source. And really, don't we do the same thing? We talk about oneness here. We talk about wholeness here. We talk about inclusivity and how we all belong and are interconnected. And yet, we live from these separate ideas of my good and your good, or that you're doing that's creating bad for me. And our practice keeps calling us back to oneness. I found this quote from Alan Watts, one of the great philosophers of our time who studied both Christianity and the Zen Buddhist teaching. Every individual is an expression of the whole realm of nature, a unique action of the total universe. Even those who know this to be true in theory do not sense or feel it, but continue to be aware of themselves as an isolated ego in a bag of skin. Our practice is not being individual, but melting those walls, those barriers. Because our ways of naming and defining male, female, good, bad, right, wrong, high, low, those definitions that we carry in our human mind seemingly separate us from this that Ernest Holmes, our founder, says is that one swirl of energy in this vast universe of interconnectedness. That's a lot of work for the human mind, the human being, to see beyond. And what really is in the way is my sense of separate, my sense of better than or worse than the whole. There's this ancient story of this king, a beloved king who lost his favorite counselor, his deep, wise counselor that helped guide him in his affairs. And when his counselor died, he put word out throughout the kingdom, invited all the wise sages to come interview, to meet him so that he could choose a new counselor. And so all these men showed up to show their true wisdom. And as he was finishing talking to the last man, this old ancient man came in all bent and crooked. He was described as crooked in 8 ways. He was so bent, seemingly broken. And as he walked up before the king looked at him awry and said, "How is it that you want to be my counselor? What kind of wisdom can you offer me?" He says, "I am one who sees beyond flaws and seeming deformities." We are called in this teaching to see beyond our ideas of what we think we like or what is good. I've been recognizing this time right now, this big time in history. I was thinking it was just the campaigns that were so rich and global warming, that was enough. And now we have this virus spreading out over the globe. And I thought, what a holy time. Beyond any holy festival that we celebrate that offers a big festivity of food and maybe an offer and a promise of presence, this time is that truly calls us to our knees in prayer. Now that's a holy time. And prayer is really what this teaching's about. That surrendering over to that bigger presence, that bigger intelligence from whence our life comes, that's breathing our breath right now and listening to that that's beyond our human ideas and judgments. As I was preparing to cast my vote this last week, I'm trying to settle in between a couple of candidates and looking at the pros and cons and what I think would work and what was best. And all of a sudden, I realized that there was no way for me to know what was the highest and the best, not only for me and what I wanted, but for this country and for this world. That I just don't have enough information. And yet our beliefs and our opinions are so fixed and so sure, are they not? I have a friend that recently sent out a scientific journal that said that human beings see 1% of the light spectrum. Imagine what you're calling reality. Only 1% of what's really here. Now that's limited seeing. Ernest Holmes speaks about this when he talks about stepping back into that liquid, unformed nature and praying and listening from there. He says we look at our lives from too small perspective. We look at it like one lifetime. Our human mind that just wants what it wants when it wants it. That's what I was referring to when I talked about our center being dynamic and growing and deepening. Because we used to teach you can have what you want when you want it. Even if it didn't serve the highest good. In one of Ernest Holmes' last address down at Asilomar, it was his last address right before he died. He talked about sacrifice. We don't talk about sacrifice here. He talked about sacrificing our small wants and desires for the larger. That higher good that is beyond what we may think is good for us. Have you ever received good only to realize it wasn't that good? Have you ever been through bad and all of a sudden realized what a blessing it was? We don't really see that big of a perspective of the evolutionary process of creation. But there is that that is the seeing and the seer itself. So we're learning to tap into, to listen to that higher intelligence, that source that's right where we are. It's not ever separate. There's no me in the divine. There's no you in the divine. We are not tapped into a special message that has us be the purveyor of all good for the planet. Although it feels like that. We sometimes think that would be good, and yet it feels like children in an unruly home. Can you imagine kids growing up where there's no parent, there's no mother watching them? Directing them, guiding them, teaching them. Where they just eat anything they want to eat. Junk food, sugar. Where they just fight over everything they want and get mad when they don't get their way. Where they never clean up their mess. Kind of feels like where we live right now. Kind of feels like what we do. And that's why our teaching, all spiritual teachings, are about listening to something higher. As I always say, the good news of this teaching is that there is something that's more intelligent than us. It is the intelligence of life itself. It knows what it's doing. Is it possible it knows your truth? Can we trust that? Can we trust that we are equal, all people, and all life is equal, and we are guided to do our part, just our part? Because if I'm judging and assessing from what's happening out here, or even from my feelings and my reactions to stuff, I'm judging and assessing from a small place. I'm going to listen from wholeness. I was remembering as I was preparing for this talk of a time when I was in Virginia. I was walking in the Blue Ridge Mountains where my friend lives. What a blessed place. And it was October. It was the peak of that fall color. If you've never seen it, it's worth your while. It's magical. It was like walking in an impressionist painting. It was like mountains rolling and rolling and rolling, just interlaced with purples and reds and bright yellows and oranges. Really, all interwoven together in this landscape that was just gorgeous. And as I'm walking up the hill, the first snow starts falling down on me. And I was so lifted up in the glory and the ecstasy of this beauty around me. I think I actually even said out loud, God, you can take me now. It wasn't that I wanted to die. It wasn't really even the leaves or the snow. What happened was I got lifted up out of myself and I felt that completeness of life itself. where nothing was missing, nothing was wrong. There was nothing I had to add to my life experience. Do you know that experience? I think it's one of the things that nature offers us, because when we go in nature, we don't judge and we don't feel judged. We see that everything's working together to create beauty in every stage of life, in the big and the little of creation. It's not like, oh, that tree's so wonderful and the moss underneath it, us, not so much. It's all working together in harmony. In fact, Stephen Hawking, you know Stephen Hawking, one of the great minds that lived on this earth. I was watching a documentary of his, and he's talking about the cosmos and the billions of years and the beginning of the universe and the end of the universe and these ideas that were beyond what I can even imagine. And at the end of his documentary, he said, you know, I think intelligence is overrated. And there was this picture of this organic matter, like I think he said it was a bacteria. And he said, look at this. It has no intelligence as we know it. And yet it works together in harmony to create all organic matter. We should do so well. Work in harmony to support the good of all people. I remember when my sister came out to California from her home in Georgia. We grew up without redwoods, if you can imagine. You lucky Californians. And I took her to Armstrong Woods. And we're walking through the woods and we're reading the plaques. And there was one tree that had fallen down. And it's talking about how the redwoods get blown over easily in high winds because they have a shallow root system. Now, I don't talk spiritual matters with my sister because she's a very strong, opinionated Muslim, and she thinks I'm strange. But I ventured in and said, well, you would think the intelligence that created life would have come up with a better system. And my sister outdid me. She looked around the forest without a moment and went, it looks like it's doing pretty good the way it is. It's the human mind that judges and assesses that this is good, this is bad, this is what I want, this is what should be. We somehow have this mistaken idea that we're here in this teaching, fixing things as if the infinite isn't completely here where we are. It's all God, it's all one, except for this. Something's wrong here. Somebody must have thought something wrong, as if life wasn't all that we are together as one. As Ernest Holmes says, there's a conspiracy to set itself loose through us. And so the only thing that seems to be in our way is the barriers of our judgments and our definitions, good and bad, male, female, right, wrong. Likes and dislikes. Not here to not be individuals, but here to listen from that higher ground. From the Gospel of St. Thomas. When you make the two one, and when you make the inside as the outside, and the outside as the inside, and the upper as the lower, and when you make the male and the female into a single one, so that the male is not male and the female is not female, then you shall enter the kingdom. And as we understand it, that kingdom is where? It's right here inside. Into that awareness of the oneness that's conspiring right where we are to simply be what we are. One of the great teachers in metaphysics, one of the great influences of Ernest Holmes was Thomas Troward. And he said, everyone is just you in another mode of expression. Wow. Everyone is you in another mode of expression. And we are here just becoming more and more and more that which we already are. So we want to find who we are. We're not making who we are. We're not trying to be somebody else or like something else. We're finding who we are in that completeness. And that completeness is right here. It has to be always right here. We're not broken. We're listening from that higher place. Michelle Obama, when she was first lady of our country, said these beautiful, brilliant words. She said, when they go low, we go high. Now, I don't say that as a political statement. That's really what our teaching is. When life seems to go low, our work is to go high. When we see people that aren't loving, that don't look skillful, who don't seem to be adding to the harmony of the world, our work is to go high, not to meet them. Have you ever met people in their lowly place? Judging, assessing. Have you ever met yourself in your lowly place? We do that too. We forget that we're held and we're whole right where we are. We're not trying to get somewhere. We're working to come home. To come home to that's right here, that already is our ground of being, that already is holding us and breathing us and being our lives. Can you imagine that intelligence that created us, that it might know how to be us already? That it's only my sense of separation, of not enoughness, or maybe too muchness that keeps me from feeling that flow. It's like our minds are like a river that have been dammed up. The river naturally flows, effortlessly flowing, changing all the time. When we grab onto an idea, a definition, a label, a judgment, we dam up the consciousness, the intelligence that can flow through us, that's always shifting and changing. It wants us to be different. We're growing and changing all the time. And the thing that's not static, the only thing that's static in this world that's so dynamic is our story. The only thing that's static is our story. Everything else is shifting right now. And so the invitation to come home and let it flow through us, the thoughts and the feelings giving rise, the judgments and assessments, and listening for what's mine to know and do. Because I know, and I think you probably know this too, when I'm in my high holy place, when I'm connected, when I'm feeling at peace and ease and open in my heart, in love, I simply participate better. Yes, I participate more skillfully, more usefully to the world. As much as we love to go to that other stuff, the flow of life happens when we're connected to the one. Years ago, I had an opportunity to participate in this game. It was a game very much like the strategic game Battleship, but it's played in teams. And so we were told to we each got to make a move as a group, one at a time. Couldn't see what the other team was doing. And throughout this game and all the games that were played, all the teams that played it, people kept losing. Both sides kept losing and losing and losing. And every once in a while, someone would figure out the key to winning the game. And the key was to play for both sides to win. That's what we teach here at the center. Ernest Holmes says, you can't pray for something unless you want that good, that highest good for all. That doesn't mean I'm praying for money, wanting everybody to be rich and some idea in my mind. That means what is the highest good for this planet and the unfolding of all life? That's a big, big, invitation. To listen from our, not from our smallness, but that actually is here knowing what our good is. Not seeing us as broken. There's a story I heard years ago of Eleanor Roosevelt, who was instrumental in getting the United States to join the UN. We don't like to play together always, this people. And after we became part of the UN was here. The delegates were here together. She was the first U.S. delegate for the United Nations. And we were in San Francisco. And they were meeting and they were working on human rights issues. And there was a lot of contention and dissonance happening. Well, whoever planned this planned well. Because they spent a day up in Muir Woods. And so they took a bus and they took their cars and they drove to Muir Woods and they spent the day there commemorating her late husband and having lunch and just talking and being in the silence and the stillness of the redwoods. And then the next day they were back in their meeting room and they put together the Charter for Human Rights. Our practice in this teaching is to go high, to include life in that bigger picture, including everything, not just peoples. Part of our global vision. We envision a world in which we live and grow as one global family that respects and honors the interconnectedness of all life. Through the guidance of spiritual wisdom and experience. So listening from that one, to be that greater expression, to work in harmony beyond our ideas, because we have ideas, we've been raised to seek our own good. We've been raised that it was one person to themselves against the world, haven't we? In this culture particularly. What can I have, achieve, accomplish? I have to excel. I have to get mine. The saying, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, came to me the other day. I don't know why. It just popped up in my mind. And I stopped and I thought about that because it's something that we have been taught to live by in this culture, that individualistic idea, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Have you ever thought about that saying? Imagine being on the ground, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. You can't do it. It's not even possible. It's ridiculous. And that same ridiculous idea of being separate and doing things on our own, because we never do anything on our own, because we are never separate. We are in that flow, that swirl of life being life. So it was all a made-up idea, like our idea of good and bad and male and female. We put all these labels on in these judgments, and they're made up. Because we are not only dependent on each other, we're interdependent. Something bigger than us has put us all here. We did not create our lives. Is that right? We do not make our breath connect with the breath of the trees. We have no idea how to make that happen. And yet somehow we think we should better run everything else. Our invitation in this teaching is always to turn within first, align within first to the one that really knows and does everything. To imagine that this one really knows how to be who you are. That's not a guarantee against suffering. It's not a guarantee against the human strife of just living in a human body and going about the day-to-day livingness. But it is that if we practice, and as we practice, we can more and more and more live from that completeness. I'm not a la-la land woo-woo teacher, minister. I sit with people going through their stuff. I go through my own stuff, and this is where I do my practice. In the midst of my pain, my heartache, I do my practice right there. Our work is to take this teaching and bring it into the midst of our world. Ernest Holmes' intention was never to shut the world out, but to learn to live from that higher place in our world. Not to save the world, but to awaken to who we are. And so I invite you today to come back again and again in that inquiry, that looking. Do you trust that that gives you breath knows how to be you? That it might know your highest fulfillment already. That fulfillment may not even be missing right now, beyond conditions. That there is a fulfillment of life in beingness right here. And then from that connection, allow it to move your feet in that is yours uniquely to know and to do. I invite you inward in prayer right now. This that Ernest Holmes himself called an alignment with a oneness beyond human understanding. That oneness right here in this room has never been, is never ever missing. Never ever lacking, never excluding anything or anyone. That oneness holds all life. It is that one vastness, that one system. It is that one stuff of which we are all made, the earth and everything that is upon it, the very cosmos itself, the spaciousness in between. And so I take this time to simply come home to that home. Right here. Holding me, breathing me, being all that I am. And I know it as the very life, the source, the truth, the essence of each and every one here. Animating every cell, breathing every breath, beating every heartbeat. We are made of, by, from that one. It is where we are each moment. It walks with us as our companion. It meets our footstep. It meets us in every interaction. And it calls us home to our truth. And so I simply answer that call right now, knowing and accepting this as the truth of each one here. Each one, each thing with whom we share life. Nothing outside. And I call forth that greater seeing awareness. That deeper, wider embracing that embraces ourself and all of creation as one. That deep inner listening to that guides and directs always. It is the source of life. It is life itself. And so I simply celebrate this knowing, celebrate this opportunity, this call home, knowing that truly it is all known and it is done by that one that truly knows and does everything. I do nothing separate from this one. We do nothing separate from this one. Oh, so grateful to know this truth. Resting in this sweet embrace of life itself, I simply let go. I let this be, and so it is. Amen.